Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. I'm used to saying kids can be dismissed to go back to Brother Lane, but they're already back there. And so you might hear some noise coming from the back room back there. But if you do, that just means kids are having fun. Amen. So we're excited about that. Mark, chapter 5. When you get there, look in verse 21. Mark, chapter 5, and verse 21. I'm so thankful that the Lord has given us kids that we can invest in. Just love to see, and you know, my wife and I now, our oldest is now 4, and it's so funny to watch kids and the things they come up with, the funny things that they say. They're little comedians and they don't know it. And someone recorded some prayers, some letters. These are real letters written by real kids to God. The Bible talks about the faith of a child. And so these were letters that were written from children to God. Let's see. One child wrote to God. It says, "Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool." This one child says, "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you already have?" This one says, "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other if they would have had their own rooms. That's what my mom did for me and my brother." One child says, "Dear God, if you watch me in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes." Okay, this one says, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard to love everyone in the whole world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I'm having a hard time loving all of them." Okay, let's see. One child says, "Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident?" Let's see. This one says, "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay?" Oh boy, this one says, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but I think you got confused because what I prayed for was a puppy." Let's see. I do one more. It says, "Out of all the people who worked for you, I like Noah and David the best." That's good. All right. Those are good. Kids are hilarious. I hope they're having a good time over there. Please, if you know anybody that has children, tell them about our Vacation Bible School. We were doing it on Sunday this year because we want to get a chance for mom and dad to be able to come to church as well. We know a lot of people, work schedules were difficult for it last year, and so we're trying something new this year. Hope it can be a blessing. Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. If you're there, give me a big amen. Amen. The Bible says this, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Title of my message this morning is this: This touch was different. This touch was different. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to have a part in the lives of these children this month of July. Father, I pray that you please work. Let them have a good time. Please bless them. Bless their homes. Father, I pray that you be with Brother Lane as he teaches, opens the Word of God and teaches them. Father, we want them to have fun on things like craft time, and we want them all to win good prizes and enjoy the snack time, but that's not what this is all about. This is about trying to invest in the lives of young people and instill in them Lord, the things that you teach of in Scripture. And so I pray that you please be with Brother Lane. Be with me this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. You know that I cannot do this without you. We love you. We give you all the honor and glory for all that's said and done. Father, I do call out Miss PJ before you this morning. Father, who was just diagnosed with cancer. Please, Lord, we pray for healing, but if it's your will to go ahead and take her on home, we pray for peace and comfort and healing for the family. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. So we see the story starts off here in Mark chapter 5. Jesus is coming over to a ship to the other side. When he gets there, there's a man named Jairus who catches him, and he said, "Sir, my little daughter, she's 12 years old. She's about to die. Can you please come with me and heal her?" Jesus says, okay, and he goes with him. The disciples are with him, and they are passing through. Now, Jesus is very famous by this point. Lots of people have been healed, and so there's crowds all over him. He's by now a celebrity. And so the Bible says thronging him, which means they're all trying to touch him and grab him, just like you'd see any celebrity that came through. And so, but all of a sudden, Jesus is walking through and he stops and says, "Who touched me?" But the disciples were watching this and said, "Jesus, everybody's touching you right now. Look around you. You're in a room full of tons and tons of people. All of them are trying to touch you. You've got hands all over you right now. How could you ask the question, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, no, this touch was different. This touch was different. He turns around. The Bible says specifically that he felt that virtue had gone out of him. Virtue, that comes from the Greek word dynamos, which is the same word we get dynamite. It means that literally there was a dynamic power that went out of Jesus, the power that it took to heal this woman. Jesus turned around, "Who touched me?" Scared her to death. But it makes the statement that she, knowing what was done in her, she knew what took place. She instantly could tell the difference. "I've been healed." And so Jesus, when he said, "Who touched me?" the disciples said, "Lord, everyone's touching." He said, no, this touch is different. And he saw the woman and he asked her, "What happened?" And she told him the backstory. She said, "Lord," and we see some different things in the story. We see, first of all, we see the sorrowful condition. The woman told her story, and she said, it says in verse 25, "A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, she couldn't stand up straight for 12 years. Her body was just getting worse and worse and worse. And so she's in a terrible condition." But we see not only the sorrowful condition, we see the disappointments. It says in verse 26, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." We saw the condition, now we see the disappointments. She's trying to find out what's wrong. She goes to doctor after doctor after doctor, and none of them find a solution to her problem. She literally has spent every dime that she owns trying to get help, and not only is she not gotten any better, her condition has gotten even worse. And so she starts telling Jesus the story, but then we see the sorrowful condition, the disappointments, we see the hope. Look what it says in verse 27. "But when she had heard of Jesus," well, what a wonderful day. Remember the day when you heard of Jesus? Remember? Huh? Remember the day? Remember the day you heard of Jesus? Maybe it was a soul winner that came by your door, or maybe your parents taught you about him growing up. But there was a day when you heard of Jesus for the first time. This woman, we don't know where she was. She might have gone to finally spent her last dime and said, "This was my last ounce of hope that I had, and it didn't do me any good. The doctors couldn't fix the problem, and I now have no more hope." And we don't know, maybe a friend came and said, "Whoa, but wait a minute, didn't you hear about this prophet that's coming through, this rabbi, judge, Jesus? Have you heard of Jesus?" "No, tell me about him. What have you heard?" "Well, they said that he healed blind Bartimaeus." "He healed him, really?" "Oh, yeah." And then they started telling her the story. Or maybe she happened to be in town and she heard a crowd and then started watching to see what took place. And then we don't know how she heard about it, but the Bible says that there was a day when she heard of Jesus. And by this point, she'd already run out of hope. But now she started to have a glimmer of hope again. Wait a minute. If he's healed other people with diseases, other men that have people been born blind, never been able to see a thing in their life, and now they can see. People that have never, they've been born and they couldn't walk since the day they were born. And when Jesus said, "Take up thy bed and walk." And so when she heard of Jesus, she gets this glimmer of hope again. Maybe this is my chance. Maybe this is how I can be saved. And so be healed. So she hears Jesus is going to be in this area. She starts fighting the crowd. It's hard for her. It's not easy. Everyone else can sit and walk like normal and they've got lots of energy. It takes everything she's got just to make it through the crowd because of this issue of blood. It's got her body crinkled up. And so she's trying to fight through the crowd. We saw the hope. We saw the verse 24. It says, and much people followed him and thronged him. She had to fight to try to get to a place close enough. But it says, then we see verse 27. We see the touch. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now look at the faith this lady had in verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She didn't have to ask Jesus, would you come and look at me and call down your power from heaven. Her faith was so strong, she said, all I've got to do, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, just the bottom piece of his garment, I believe with all my heart that there's enough power in that man to heal my body. And so she went and touched him. And in the middle of hundreds of people, possibly thousands, thronging Jesus and hands all over him, Jesus stops and says, whoa, stop everything. Someone touched me. Jesus, how could you say that? Everyone's touching you right now. No. This touch was different. This touch was different. We saw Jesus' reaction in verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned to him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? We see the reaction of Jesus Christ. But then we see the confusion of the disciples. Verse 31, they said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? When God does a work in our life, there's always people that doubt. It's always people that, oh, that's just a phase. There's always people that they weren't the ones that were touched. They weren't the ones that were healed. And so they have a hard time being in our place. And so the disciples are confused. But then Jesus says, this touch was different. But here's the question, though, of the message this morning. What was it that made the difference? Jesus has hands touching him from all different kinds of people and all different backgrounds and nationalities. But one touch caused Jesus to stop everything that was going on and call attention and talk to this woman. He stopped Jairus. They're on their way to go heal Jairus. Said Jesus, my daughter is on the point of death. She's about to die. Time is of the essence. And Jesus stops everything to find out who touched him. What was the difference? We find out in verse 34, when Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy what? What's it say?
Faith.
What's it say? Say it again. Thy what? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What made the difference? Faith. This was a touch of faith. Do you know the room of people who would like to touch Jesus is a very crowded room. Jesus is a very popular person. There are churches all over this world, denominations and different belief systems and different kind of cults and the people that would love to be able to touch Jesus. The room of people that want to touch Jesus is a very crowded room, but the amount of touches that are touches of true faith is a lot smaller group. It's small enough and it's rare enough that it literally calls the attention of Jesus. The Bible tells us that one of the things that make the difference between prayer and between powerful prayer is faith. Go hold your finger in Mark chapter 5 with me if you would, and flip over to your left to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, just a few pages, Matthew 21 and verse 21. We'll see that the difference between a mediocre prayer and a prayer with power, a prayer that sees answer, a prayer that gets results, is faith. When you touch Jesus, are you touching him with faith? Would he stop when you get on your knees in the morning, or when you get on your knees before you go to bed, and when you reach out before the throne of grace and touch Jesus, would he stop and say, wait a minute, this touch was different. This touch had faith in it. And so we see that faith makes a difference. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21, if you're there, give me a big amen. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing. This touch was different. Believing. What does it say? Ye shall receive. What makes a difference between a touch and a touch of power? What makes a difference with a person that touches Jesus and then someone touches him and he realizes, no, I just lost some dynamic power. Some virtue has gone out of me. What's the difference? It's the difference of faith. There was a Scottish pastor years ago who was, there was a terrible drought going on in their town. And so the pastor was praying every single day. He was praying for God to send rain. One morning, the pastor was getting ready to go to church and his daughter heard him praying and saying, God, please give us rain today. Please give us rain today. We've got to have it to please end this drought. And he got ready to go to church and his daughter went up to him and said, Daddy, aren't you forgetting something? And he said, I don't think so, dear. What am I forgetting? She said, you didn't grab your umbrella. And he said, well, dear, why would I grab my umbrella? She said, well, didn't you just ask God if you could make it rain today? And so he looked at her and smiled and said, yes, I did. And he grabbed his umbrella. And they got to walk home in the pouring rain underneath that umbrella. You know, there were a lot of people, I'm sure, during that time that had hands reaching up to heaven. Some that were saved, some that weren't. We need rain. Crops are failing. It's hurting our economy. And you could almost, if you could imagine Jesus saying, whoa! Stop it. Stop everything for a moment. Who just touched me? Someone just touched me. And someone could say, Jesus, look down at all the thousands of voices, of hands that are reaching up to heaven right now and asking you for rain. How could you ask who touched me? He said, no. This touch was different. This touch was different. The person who reached up and touched the hem of my garment this time was a touch of faith. They didn't just touch hoping. They didn't just touch wondering. They didn't just touch because they thought it'd be a neat experience. It's something new they haven't done before. This was a touch because someone believed with all their heart, if I touch the hem of his garment, then I'm going to be healed. The issue of blood will be healed. The rain will come down from the sky. And I'm so confident that it's going to rain today that I'm going to bring my umbrella with me. And it was a touch of faith. Faith is what makes the difference. And when you and I touch Jesus, it's got to be a touch of faith. Hudson Taylor was the incredible missionary to China many years ago. They were on their way to China in the boat, and they were going across. And the story said that the winds totally died as they were getting over there near the coast of China. The winds totally died, and they were just drifting with the current. The captain came down to Hudson Taylor's room, and he said, Mr. Hudson, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. We're praying for wind because he said the current is carrying us towards some dangerous reefs that belong to some islands that are inhabited by cannibals. And he said it's time to pray that God sends us some wind because if not, we're going to be shipwrecked on those reefs and the only place to go will be those cannibal inhabited islands. Hudson Taylor began to pray. They kept drifting. The captain came down and the story says that they got so close to the islands, they could see the natives on the shorelines building bonfires. And all of a sudden, Hudson Taylor came up and told the captain, he said, let down the sails. Captain said, Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. He said, I know, but God's going to send it. Let down the sails. And he said, but Mr. Taylor, that my men will think that I'm crazy if I let down the sails where there is no wind. And he said, just let down the sails. And so it was a few minutes later, Mr. Hudson was down there begging God for wind. He was saying, God, you know you sent me to China for a reason. There are people there that need to hear the gospel. You've got to get us there safely. He was down there begging God for wind. Before long, there was a knock on the door, and the captain said, Mr. Taylor, stop praying. We have more wind than we know what to do with. And so what took place? With all these hands that were reaching up to heaven and people touching Jesus and reaching for Jesus and praying for this and praying for that, all of heaven stopped when Jesus said, someone just touched me, and this touch was different. It was a touch of faith that believed that I was powerful enough to make it happen. You follow me this morning? God is wanting Christians that can touch him and people that will be able to touch him with faith. This touch was different. There was a missionary named Dr. Helen Rosevere, missionary to the African country of Zaire, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. She told a story years ago. There was a mother and their mission who had died giving birth to a premature baby. And they said there that they tried to improvise an incubator to try to keep the baby alive, but the only hot water bottle that they had, you know what I'm talking about when I said the hot water bottles, those rubber bags, the only one they had, which was necessary for the incubator, was broken. They tried to fix it. It was beyond repair. And so the staff got with the kids and they said, guys, we have to pray. It's time for us to pray that God can protect this little baby. And there was a little orphan girl who started praying. She was a Christian and she started praying and she said, Dear God, please send us a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late and the baby will die. Please send us a hot water bottle today. And then she prayed and said, And Lord, can you please, that little baby that was born had an older sister, a toddler who now had no mom. And so the little girl prayed and said, and God, could you please send a baby doll so that her sister doesn't feel so lonely now that her mommy is in heaven? They said that that afternoon a package came in the mail from England that was sent 5 months before. They opened the box, and when the first thing they saw in there was that hot water bottle. That little girl was so excited. She ran over there and was jumping up and down and saying, yay, Jesus answered my prayer. And then it hit her. He must have given us the doll. The worker said that she was skeptical that that would have been something that would have been sent. Back then, a hot water bottle was something that was common, and she could see the missionaries 5 months in advance, assuming that they had that need. But why would they send a doll? But the little girl, and sure enough, she found it. You know what happened? You could have been in heaven and heard Jesus say, wait a minute, everybody stop. Someone touched me. Someone might could have said, but Jesus, look around you. Listen to the millions of voices around planet Earth right now that are reaching up. From all over the earth that are reaching up right now. How could you say that someone has touched you? And you would have heard Jesus say, this touch was different. This touch was different. This touch had faith. This touch came from the heart of a little girl that believed with all of her heart that if I ask God to give us a hot water bottle for this little baby, He's going to come through. And if I ask Him to give that little baby doll for that little toddler that no longer has a mom, He's going to come through. And it's the touch of faith that moves heaven. It's the touch of faith that moves the hand of God. When you and I pray, is our touch different? Is our touch different? So many hands reaching up. God said that if someone touches Him with faith, they'll move heaven. David in the Bible prayed until the giant fell down dead. And David with a little slingshot was able to slay this huge giant Goliath. And he fell down dead because of a man that knew how to pray. We think of Elijah who prayed until fire came down from heaven. Just kept touching heaven with a touch of faith. And though others have prayed and others have asked God for things, these touches were different. It was a touch of faith. Now yes, there are times when you and I pray for things that might not be God's will and our answer might be no. But the powerful prayers are prayers that have faith in them. And David prayed with faith and the giant fell. And Elijah prayed with faith and the fire came down from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, destroyed the wicked prophets. Elisha, one time, there was a woman who came to Elisha, begged for a child, and Elisha prayed for her, and she conceived. She was a Shunammite woman. And then something happened. The little boy went out in the field complaining about his head hurting, and the next thing we knew, he was dead. And so the Shunammite woman went to Elisha, and she said, Elisha, my son is dead. My son is dead. But it is well. I believe that you've got the power. You prayed, and God gave me the son. I believe that you can raise him from the dead. And so Elisha started to send his servant, and she said, no, I want the man of God. I want Elisha. Elisha went with her and went to that upstairs in that room with that little boy and called down God's power from God and prayed and touched him. And Jesus said, everybody stop. This touch was different. There's a man who's praying with faith, and he believes it can be done. And that little boy came to life. There was a man named Moses one time who stood at the brink of an ocean, and the sea was in front of them and the soldiers were behind them and there was nowhere to go. But when everybody else was panicked, Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses reached up and prayed and touched heaven, and God said this touch was different, and the waters parted in two. You see, Joshua was in battle when he was there and fighting, and the war was going on, and Joshua prayed and begged God and prayed and prayed and prayed until literally the rotation of earth stopped spinning and the sun stood still in the sky for 2 days. Because a man knew how to get a hold of God, and God said, I'm answering his prayer because this touch was different. Samuel was there, and the children of Israel were sitting on a fence, and some of them believed in God and some did not. And Samuel lifted up his hands to heaven and literally prayed until the sky was filled with lightning and thunder, and it started to storm, a terrible storm, because a man knew how to get a hold of God, and God responded because he said this touch was different. Isaiah prayed one time, prayed and kept praying until God finally turned back the sundial 10 degrees. Joshua convinced God to let the earth stop rotating, and Isaiah got God to turn the earth back. Why? Because this touch was different. There have been churches built because this touch was different. There have been diseases that have been healed and revivals that have been started. Miracles that have been performed and mighty prayers that have been answered because of Christians who knew how to touch God with a touch of faith. And Christian, listen to me this morning. We can accomplish the impossible if we would just believe that there's nothing that God can't do. And if our prayers could get Jesus' attention, and out of all the voices that are traveling upwards, if Jesus would stop all of heaven and say, wait a minute, somebody just touched me. But Jesus, there are Christians that are touching you all over the world, I know, but this touch was different. This touch came from the heart of a person that believed with all their heart that their grandchild was going to get saved. This touch came from the heart of a person that believed with all their heart that I could still build an incredible work of God. This came from a person who prayed for healing for their mom. But this touch was different. What kind of a touch do you and I have? There are people all over this world, literally millions all over the world, who are touching Him, wanting everlasting life. But their trust is in things like good works, baptism. Their trust is in things like church membership and wealth and success. And they're reaching for Jesus. And if you could imagine and pretend that Jesus stepped into a room that would fit the entire world, they're reaching out spiritually and touching Him. The crowd is thronging Him. But most of the hands that are going towards Jesus are trusting in wealth. They're trusting in riches. They're trusting in a religious process. They're trusting in their own good works. They're trusting in the fact that they've been baptized. They're trusting in the fact that they're a member of a church. When I was 7 years old, I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed and I told the Lord, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that if I died right now that I'd go to hell. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. I believe You rose again. I'm asking You to forgive my sins and save my soul. And at 7 years old, I reached out my hands and I touched Jesus Christ by faith. And in a world where thousands and millions of people are trying to touch Him, Jesus stopped all of heaven and said, everybody stop! Somebody just touched me. Someone might could have said, hey, but there's people all over the place touching you. He said, no. This touch was different. This touch was different because this was a touch of faith. If you're here today and you've been saved, it's because at one point in your life, you reached out and touched Him, not trusting anything else. This woman in Mark chapter 5, she wasn't trusting in doctors, was she? She already tried that. It didn't work. She wasn't trusting in medicine, was she? She already tried that. It didn't work. She wasn't trusting in finances. She tried that. It didn't work. She got to the place when she walked into that press, battling through, trying to reach to Jesus. She had all faith and trust in Him alone and nothing else. And when a person reaches out to Jesus Christ, believing that He is the Son of God, that He came to this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross, rose again, and they believe that He could save them, and they reach out to Him and touch Him by faith, Jesus stops and says, this touch was different because this was a touch made of a person who had faith in Me and they believed I could save their soul. This week I was able to sit down with a dear lady and pray with her as she opened up her heart and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And if you could have been in heaven this week and heard Jesus say, wait a minute, everybody stop. Somebody just touched me. But Jesus, if you look down at all the countries all over the world and look at how many millions of hands are reaching up. Some of them are trusting in Mary, and some of them are trusting in the fact that they've gone to confession, and some are trusting in the fact that they've gone out and gone soul winning, and some are trusting in the fact that they've joined the kingdom hall, and some are trusting in the fact, and they're all trusting in something. And Jesus said, I know, but this touch was different. This was a touch that didn't trust in the doctors. This was a touch that didn't trust in the medicine. This was a touch that didn't trust in it. Didn't trust in the wisdom of man. They put all their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And He said, this touch was different. And He looked down at that lady that I prayed with this week, and He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. If you're here today, listen, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you've never been born again, you cannot go to heaven until you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and save your soul. The Bible says that that when we are saved, it's being born again. Born again. Call on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Born again. I've talked to so many people and asked them, when did you get saved? I said, well, I've just kind of always been. I got a question. Let me ask Brother Paul. When were you born? What was your birthday?
March 25th.
March 25th. What year?
Every year.
Every year? Which year were you? Which year were you born?
Oh, 54.
Okay. March 25th, 1954. All right. So you weren't born March 26th?
No.
You weren't born on March 24th? You've not just kind of always been born.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that, no. You've not just kind of always been born. You definitely had a birthday.
Right.
Okay, salvation is the same way. You must be born again. If I asked you to come up here and tell me your story, I told you the story. I was 7 years old. I had made a profession of faith when I was five. But I wasn't old enough to realize that I was really a sinner and that my sin has taken me to hell and I needed Jesus to save me and forgive my sin. I don't understand that. And so I prayed a prayer, but salvation is not a prayer. Salvation takes place in the heart. You can be saved by praying, but just because you prayed, that does not mean you got saved. It's because salvation has to take place in the heart. And that didn't happen when I was five. And I kept having doubts on my salvation. And at 7 years old, I said, I'm sick of living with these doubts. I'm tired of sitting every church service when the preacher says, if you know you're saved, raise your hand, lying about it. Tired of sticking my hand up there and saying I'm saved, but in my heart, doubting. I'm tired of that lie. I'm tired of going to bed at night wondering what will happen if Jesus comes back and the trumpet shouts and the rapture takes place and I'm left behind. I got sick of living with those doubts. And I realized this because when I was five, I didn't understand it. And so at 7 years old, I said, Lord, if I didn't understand it then, I do now. I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin is taking me to hell, and I'm asking you to forgive my sins and save my soul. That day I was saved, and I've never had a doubt since. Glory to God. That's my story. What's yours? If you say, well, preacher, you know, I was baptized. You're trusting in the doctor. Well, I mean, I'm a good person. I've always been a good person. I've never done anything real bad. You're trusting in the medicine. That kind of a touch is not enough. It's got to come from a person that says, I'm not trusting in any works that I can do. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't do anything to get saved. It's a gift of God. A gift is free. If I went up to my wife here and said, honey, for Christmas this year, I'm getting you a hymnal. All right? I'm going to do better than that. Don't worry. But if I said, this is what I'm going to give you for Christmas this year, and here you go. It's a free gift, and that's going to be $12.95. All right? Is that free? What if I told her, I'm going to give it to you for free, but you got to give me a foot massage? All right? Is that free? No. She's having to work for it. A gift is free. Someone says Jesus died on the cross and offers us salvation freely, but I got to go soul winning. That's not free anymore. So Jesus offered me salvation because he died on the cross, but I've got to join the church. It's not free anymore. I've got to be baptized. It's not free anymore. Salvation's free. We do those things because we want to please the Father. We want to be good Christians, but it has nothing to do. Can I tell you this? If you've been reaching out to Jesus, but you've been trusting in the doctors, you've been trusting in something else, Jesus has not stopped all of heaven yet. You've not been saved yet. And he's wanting you today. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He's wanting you to come today and open up your heart to him and just say, Jesus, I believe. There's the faith. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. I believe that if you'd save me if I asked you. So I'm asking you to forgive my sins and save my soul. And if you do that, Jesus will stop all of heaven and say, wait a minute. Someone just touched me. And this touch was different. Maybe you're a Christian here today. And say, Pastor, it's my desire. I want that when I call to Jesus in prayer, I want him to stop everyone and say this touch was different. I want to be able to know that if I'm praying in his will, that I'll get the answer because my touch is different. Because it's got faith in it. I'm tired of praying with doubts. I'm tired of praying wondering. I'd love to have the faith to believe that what I ask him to do, he can do. I want to have the faith to believe that he can save my grandchild. I want to have the faith to believe that he can provide for my needs. I want to have the faith to believe that he can do an amazing work here at Highlands Baptist Church. I want to have the faith to believe. Is your touch different? Has bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us.